And the time is 4 o'clock. You are listening to Community Radio, WERU-FM, 89.9 Blue Hill and 102.9 Bangor. Stay tuned for Radioactive with Amy Brown and Meredith DeFrancesco.
This hour and every hour of Community Radio is made possible in large part by the individuals, families, organizations, and businesses who support grassroots radio in Maine. Thank you.
Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with hosts Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. Today we'll be playing footage from the protests in New York City against the World Economic Forum last weekend. Despite inflammatory rhetoric from the corporate media, a diverse and colorful group of more than 10,000 people gathered in New York City last weekend to protest against the World Economic Forum's corporate globalization practices. In the weeks preceding the event, New York's Daily News had referred to anti-WEF activists as legions of agitators, crazies, parasites, and kooks, and had threatened activists, saying, quote, "You have a right to free speech, but try to disrupt this town, and you'll get your anti-globalization butts kicked, capiche?" End quote. The Daily News went on to compare critics of the WEF to the terrorists who attacked the World Trade Center. Quote, "New York will not be terrorized," declared the paper. "We already know what that's like. Chant your slogans, carry your banners, wear your masks, just don't test our patients because we no longer have any," end quote. New York Times columnist Clyde Haberman described globalization activists as people less known for their deep thinking than for their willingness to trash cities, and said, quote, "Some would say that New York needs this protest about as much as it needs another airplane attack," end quote. The TV program Nightline canceled their plans to cover the event when it turned out to not be as violent as they'd anticipated, according to reports on indie media. As usual, the corporate media failed to explore the reasons that have compelled hundreds of thousands of people around the world to take to the streets in protest of the corporate globalization promoted by organizations like the WEF and the World Trade Organization, and trade agreements like NAFTA and the FTAA. The WEF is a private member organization comprising representatives from 1,000 of the world's largest corporations, including Microsoft, Monsanto, Nike, General Motors, and until recently, Enron. The organization openly brags that its members and partners benefit from the mission of the forum as they, quote, "participate in shaping the global agenda," close quote. While the WEF helps set global economic and trade agendas that affect the entire world, the group predominantly includes European and American businesses, which are not accountable to the people, communities, and ecosystems their policies often destroy. In addition, the WEF's growing clout is beginning to challenge even that of the UN, according to many critics. The protest included representatives of many different environmental, human rights, and social justice groups and other individuals expressing their outrage at the devastating policies of corporate globalization. They got their message across using street theater, puppetry, radical cheerleading, chants, banners, and by their willingness to put themselves out there, despite the warnings that the police would not be, or would be, even more brutal than usual, and that the climate in New York was not receptive. Surrounded by a massive police show of force and with police helicopters circling overhead, the largest march held last Saturday made its way from Central Park to the Waldorf Astoria, where the WEF was meeting, and a permitted rally was scheduled. Along the way, the protest stopped to direct outrage at the Disney store, known for its sweatshop practices, Citicorp, which has funded projects that have destroyed ecosystems, and The Gap, which is owned by a company that is cutting the last of the old-growth redwoods and also reportedly uses sweatshop labor. We'll start with two post-protest interviews with activists who were there, followed by sounds from the streets last Saturday, February 2nd, 2002, which starts with a comment from one of the protesters and is followed by the words of inspiration from author and activist Starhawk at the beginning of the march, and then some street theater. Later, you'll hear the crowd arriving at the permitted rally area where the police temporarily blocked protesters from entering the area and then hassled people as they tried to leave.
Could you comment on the importance of this movement against corporate globalization, the movement's tactics, and its message? And when I refer to tactics, the direct action approach and the way in which the activists are organizing amongst themselves. Marcus.
I think... Looking at looking at New York City, something I saw was really useful and important about our tactics were the fact that the movement has always been, going back even before Seattle, and it's always been a movement that's very not top-down. It's been very locally based, with a whole lot of small groups working together. And something that happened in New York, I think the larger activist groups, the sort of more mainstream groups that got a lot of funding and sort of would normally be the groups that do a lot of work on these issues, were very scared away from doing stuff in New York, because it's, you know, after the World Trade Center disaster, because there's this war going on, all of these reasons. And what we were able to do is, because everything was so locally based and grassroots based, that we still were able to get 15,000 people out on the street.
And so the people who were going there in New York City were trying to show that this, that the message that they had to portray did not fly in the face of what New York was going through, but a message that still needed to be heard.
I think that's definitely true. I mean, we changed our tactics a little bit, but what New York needed at the time was to see this very peaceful group of activists, and activists showed it. They can be very versatile, that sometimes they can show up and have as their goal to shut down the meeting, to cause traffic disruption, to cause perhaps property damage, to shut down the meeting. Whereas, so in New York, what we did was we did peaceful protests with a lot of visual imagery, a lot of street theater, and showed that these corporations, you know, the September 11th didn't change the fact that these corporations are still totally running rampant all over the world and totally trampling on people's rights, and we were still able to have a way of protesting against them.
Kelvin, you're going to talk with us about the importance of theatrical messages in this movement. And do you want to talk about that in the context of what you were doing at this protest against the WEF?
Certainly, there's a lot of people using theatrical messages. To start with what we were doing, I was part of the Radical Rockettes, which was a group that formed a kick line dressed as Statues of Liberties with some of our own chosen liberties, such as diversity, mutual aid, justice lived, which actually came from a quote from Gandhi, which were banners across, running across our chests. We carried the torches of free speech and justice for all beings instead of the older values. So what we were doing was, and in fact there were other Statues of Liberties throughout the parade, was trying to subvert or actually return some of the imagery from the beginning of this nation's founding, trying to reclaim the sort of radical freedoms that they were talking about at that time. So we call ourselves Statues of Liberation, and we marched through the parade in a kick line. We actually were trained by a real Radio City Rockette who had advised a dance instructor on the matter. And we also rewrote the song New York, New York. A huge amount of attention in this whole preparation for this march went into the theatrics, primarily the puppets. There's a giant dragon that would rival the dragon from any Chinese New Year. It's all done partly because, partly for the media's eye, in that when you take a photograph of a crowd of people, it's harder to see what they're saying than if there's 20-foot-tall puppets that have very clear messages on them. It also brings in humor and joy. It becomes a celebration of these kind of new values, or not new values, but these, you know, it's a celebration of the things that we're fighting for, which is very important, as opposed to things we're fighting against. You know, there is actual things we're envisioning here. They sometimes tell stories through parody. For instance, there were men out in medieval stocks, which were painted with the words Enron stocks to show what Enron has been doing to their stockholders. And what else did I see? There's a multi-ethnic Statue of Liberty about, I think, 30 or 40 feet tall. It was manned by probably at least 5 people that marched through the streets. And I think a lot of the people of this generation feel like, there's a great quote, I think it's Emma Goldman, she said, "It's not my revolution if I can't dance." That, like, this kind of celebratory aspect is very important. You know, there's definitely a lot of people working in this way just to make joy there from the outset.
Well, over the last few months, there's been, like, increasingly a quelling of civil liberties in the United States. And this is a gathering of people who all believe in the Bill of Rights, who believe in their right to speak out when they see something that they feel is wrong. And so this is a lot of people who are nonviolently, peacefully speaking truth from our hearts. And there's no place else on earth I would rather be than right here, right now, with these sisters and brothers who are speaking from their hearts against powers which are really, really huge and really even impossible for us to conceive, like how much money we're up against. But as they're all saying, the power of the people don't stop. And this, like, the power of it might take time and a lot of perseverance, but in the end, I think through gathering like this peacefully, nonviolently, and speaking truth, that's gradually going to affect people.
Great. Thank you.
A bit of street theater
the
with the World Economic
Forum. Our communities.
World Economic Forum coming to New York. That's why people are booing.
The World Economic Forum, after being kicked out of Davos, Switzerland last year, has come to New York City to plot the fate of our planet and our people. But who is the World Economic Forum? Well, from the people who brought us the WTO, this is a private members-only club of the world's most powerful and dangerous multinational corporations. These are corporations like Enron that steal workers' life savings. Workers' rights being shredded by the World Economic Forum. These are multinational corporations like Shell Oil that murder for oil. Human rights shedded by the World Economic Forum. These are corporations like DuPont who poison our air and our water. Our environment being shredded by the World Economic Forum. And all of these guys have come to New York City to plot our future world behind closed doors. But will the people of our communities stand for these injustices?
No! Tienen una sorpresa! Nosotros, la comunidad!
Will the people of our communities stand for these injustices?
No! Estamos vivos, saludables, y creciendo!
I don't know, let me hear you.
juntos con compasión, justicia, valor, creatividad y determinación esta comunidad. Otro mundo es posible. Si es posible, ¿qué piensan? Si es posible, ¿qué piensan? ¡Sí puedes!
What do you think? Is another world possible? I can't hear you. Is another world possible?
¡Sí se puede! ¡Sí se puede! ¡Sí se puede!
Citigroup, the world's most destructive bank, the world's largest financial institution who's underwriting global warming, deforestation, predatory lending, and the global doomsday economy. We're demanding that Citigroup stop funding fossil fuel projects, stop funding deforestation, stop funding attacks on indigenous cultures, and start transitioning towards a democratic, just, and ecologically sane global society.
And Citicorp is part of WEF?
Citigroup is one of the founding members of the WEF. They have five representatives in the meetings today, and they're kings of the backroom deal. So you can be sure that from Enron to Exxon, from predatory lending to prisons, Citigroup's making a buck off destruction across the world.
Do you mind identifying yourself? We're from WERU, the FBI radio station.
No, that's fine. We're very public. I'm Patrick Rainsborough from the Rainforest Action Network.
Great, thanks.
Resist! Resist! Fight back!
mid-March, and we're somewhere on the street where the Waldorf Astoria is, where the WEF meetings are being held, and we're at a bottleneck. The police are not letting us through barricades so that we can get through to demonstrate in front of the meetings themselves. There are thousands of people here. Blocks, the protest is blocks and blocks long, and now it's actually divided up into a couple of groups, with one group leaving to go elsewhere for other actions. People are relaying messages back from the front of the group about whether or not the police are going to let the protesters through the barricades, and it sounds like there's no way that's going to happen right now. It's getting a little bit chaotic here as it gets dark out and no one's really sure what's going on. You can't really see up ahead or behind. And if you find this mini disc recorder after we've been trampled to death, know that in our last moments we were having fun.
Oh, God.
I was just kidding about that. It's 5 after 6, and a few minutes ago the police suddenly decided to let protesters through the first blockade point, which most of us did come through the first blockade point, effectively bringing us into a sort of cordoned off area where we're surrounded by police on all sides now, rather than just on the three sides that we were before. Ahead of us, we've been told, one more barricade, and we're only about 2 buildings down from the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Activists are starting to link arms in the streets and make plans for whether or not they are going to be trying to get through the next blockade to get to the Waldorf Astoria. A group of police on horses just rode in. That's the first time we've seen those today. So the scenario that we're in now is one in which if they decide they wanted to do a mass arrest, it would be very easy for them to do that. And people seem to be pretty aware of that. People have their bandanas around their necks. The vinegar has been passed around because that's believed to reduce the effects of chemical agents if they're used. Someone has climbed up onto a pole with a sign that says "Revolution, no WEF." That's what the crowd is cheering about. We just saw Amy Goodman from Democracy Now, who says she's not planning on getting arrested. So, and she's in here. So we're hoping maybe that means they don't arrest journalists. But we're not counting on it. Okay, it's 6:35, and the group has turned around and are heading back out the exit, linked together. They're chanting earlier, "Wherever we go, we're going together," and singing solidarity. Apparently there's some concern that people might have some trouble from the cops leaving.
No war, no hate, no cops, no state. No war, no hate, no cops, no state. People
united will never be divided.
The people united will never be divided. The people united will never be divided. The people united
will never be divided.
Fight for the people!
Fight for the people!
Fight for the people!
Die for the people!
Fight for the people!
Fight for the people!
Fight for the people!
Okay, so now it seems to be some kind of test to see if thousands of people can stay on the sidewalk without anybody falling off the curb. And if anybody who does, they're going to get arrested for jaywalking. It's the rumor, at least, that's being passed along.
We are the
Do it again.
Run!
Repeat after me!
We were eventually allowed to leave the area, but were closely watched by throngs of police who were stationed throughout the city, and notably in front of corporate offices and chain stores throughout the weekend. Over the five-day course of the WEF meeting, there were several marches and rallies, and more than 200 people were arrested. On Saturday, police targeted a group of about 60 people at the back of the permitted march, arrested them, and charged them with illegal assembly. Some of those arrested were held in jail for more than 30 hours. On Sunday, 87 arrests were made at an unpermitted march.
The mighty, mighty people!
The mighty, mighty people!
Fighting for justice!
Fighting for justice!
And to shut the West down!
And to shut the West down!
You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown.
And I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
We'd like to thank Joel Mann for engineering today, Andy Buckley for web support, and you for listening and acting. You can contact us here at WERU or by emailing us at radioactivenews@hotmail.com. You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on our website, www.freespeech.org/RAN, or on mainindymedia.org.